Blog Talk Radio.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year. Big eight.
Yes, folks, you gotta pick competent candidates to run for Congress this year. Today is, to digress, the birthday of the great German General Erich von Ludendorff, who was the one who, during World War I, devised a strategy, I think it was to help Hindenburg defeat the Russians at Tannenberg and just try to swing the German army around to fight in the West, on the Western Front. He also, unfortunately, got involved with Hitler and was involved in the Munich beer hall putsch, I guess that's how you pronounce it, excuse my German. And while the others, while the police were shooting at them, in the marchers, the protesters, he was the one who just kept marching right on, a true Iron Prussian. Unfortunately, he got in with bad company. And it's also the birthday of Paul Robeson, the great black singer. He had a law degree from Columbia University, great football player, great actor. Those of you who have seen and should see Showboat, Jerome Kern's great 1930s Broadway show, it's almost symphonic opera. He sang Old Man River, a classic. Unfortunately, he got involved with the Communist Party, went to Russia. His passport was yanked. He was discriminated against when he worked in a law firm after he graduated from law school. They stuck him literally in the back of the bus, literally and figuratively, even though he was a very intelligent man. Unfortunately, he too got involved with bad company. We're going to bring up a few things today that some of the politicians are proposing. Of course, these guys are up for a re-election and running for office in November, and so I think our theme is quite appropriate. I didn't play, I was thinking about it, but we didn't play Horse Vessel. One time is enough. But here's a voter registration fraud alert. And those of you who haven't gone to our other, we have several websites, Californians Against Voter Fraud, we documented a lot of the vote fraud committed by the radical and lavender left here in California. And we have a California legislator, Leland Yee, has a doctorate in psychology. He was on the corrupt San Francisco school board, and a lot of controversy about this man. I've gotten on his case several times when I was in the school district, San Francisco Unified School District, at the radio station. And he is proposing a law that would allow people to register to vote on Election Day and also to vote on Election Day. And they claim, this is the claim, if you can believe this, that they'll be able to verify identification. Well, let me tell you what we experienced at Californians Against Voter Fraud. We witnessed during the Gore, when he ran for president, these leftists who came up from L.A. and other parts of the United States. We happened to be at the voter registration's office here in San Francisco. We watched these people go in, fill out a registration form. They had dresses, and then they demanded an absentee ballot. They got it. They voted, and then disappeared. So anybody who's concerned about voter fraud across the country, and expect it, because the radical Democrats, the corrupted Democrats and their facilitators and lobbyists and the bogus nonprofit organizations which run their own political campaigns, their corporations too, but they don't pay taxes. They don't even pay the withholding taxes that are taken out of their employees' paychecks, and we'll expose that. Juan Pifre was notorious for doing that, his organization. But we'll deal with that on another day. But anyway, we have to be on guard against voter fraud. starting now, because these people are gearing up and they want to retain their grip on power. And it's not, you know, we can't wait until the week before Election Day in November and become concerned and aware and aroused and start monitoring these people. They're preparing, if they haven't started already, to do a massive voter fraud this fall to keep their corrupt legislators in office across the country, in cities, states, state houses, and in the federal government, Congress. So information is power. What you don't know can hurt, harm, and cost you. Today, some interesting, quite a few interesting events today. One of my favorite, in 1927, Mae West, you know, she never took off her clothes, and she died. She was buried in a Catholic church. Interesting woman. She was arrested on this day in 1927, and of course, she had some beautiful quips, and she starred with W.C. Fields. It's also today is the birthday of Hugh Hefner, and I wonder, and who started Playboy magazine, and one of the first play bunnies was a girl from my high school. We had girls at our boarding school, and she was going to become a nun, and instead she ended up in Hugh Hefner's hutch, as it were. But we jokingly ask, what if Hugh Hefner was around at the time Mae West was around? That would have been interesting. Today, also, we have, and this is relevant, 1986, the French government owned Renault, the famous car manufacturer, and apparently they fought privatization. And, of course, we've seen what's happened here with General Motors and the government's meddling, as some people consider it, claiming they're too big to fail, which the car corporations. What happened in France in 1986, the French government, which owned Renault, decided to let the car company sell shares to the public. So we don't see Renault, many Renault cars or Citroëns or even Peugeots here in the United States. They were very fine cars at one time. I can't speak for them now. And then 1942, the Philippines surrendered to the Japanese, General Homma. And General Wainwright, the American commander after MacArthur, had been ordered to leave the Philippines and to go to Australia. General Wainwright was in command at the Bataan Corregidor and of all American and Filipino forces, which are merged into the American Army. And this was the week that the Bataan Death March started. I interviewed some of these people, and I will pull their interviews out of my archives. But it's important also because Raul Almison, who was descended from the family of Benito Juarez, the first democratically elected president of Mexico back in 1865, he's the guy that kicked that defeated Archduke Maximilian, who the French set up as to be the emperor of Mexico, and we weren't having any of this. Anyway, and he's also Indian, mestizo. And Raul Almison had a pregnant wife, and he escaped capture at Bataan Corregidor. And he was a young, just graduated from law school, and he was an Army legal officer. I don't know how many cases he had. But anyway, he escaped, and with a pregnant wife, the Japanese Army was chasing him. And a Filipino nurse who married an American soldier, and they were chasing them. They were guerrillas chasing them all over the Philippines. The Japanese didn't capture them. It's an amazing story. Unfortunately, I didn't get a tape, and Raul died in 1997. He is the lawyer. He was dying at the time of kidney failure. He started the Stephen Neri U.S. Navy sailors' first habeas corpus. There were two of them, and I can't get into the rest right now. But anyway, we'll get into more of that because it's very important. And Raul, one of his daughters, he had three daughters, and one of them married a U.S. Marine who was distantly related to General George C. Marshall, the commanding general of all American forces in World War II, chief of staff. So there's a lot of history connected with people I know and have dealt with and have worked with. Excuse me. And we have some famous, and then also today we have the birthday of Senator Abraham Ribicoff. Now, Ribicoff is famous, senator from Connecticut, and Nate Ratner, who also worked on the Steve Nery case, his family emigrated, grandfather emigrated from Poland, half of them, and the other half went to Israel, or Palestine, and Nate's cousin, General Israel Tal, was kind of the patron of the Israeli army. And Nate died of prostate cancer, but he worked on the Steve Nery case. And he was cousin to Senator Abe Ribicoff. Now, Ribicoff is famous. If you watch the 1968 Democratic Convention, you will see a lot of protests. And I covered that convention, a student filmmaker, but on the outside, actually. It wasn't inside the convention hall. Excuse me. And Ribicoff, Mayor Daley claimed this later, Ribicoff got up and after there was a lot of rioting, and, but nobody was killed. This is interesting. Chicago police have a reputation for brutality and killing people, but nobody was killed. There was some broken bones and there was a police riot, slashing tires, breaking windows, beating people, but nobody was killed. But anyway, Ribicoff got up and openly challenged and criticized Mayor Daley, and Mayor Daley was pissed. So later, when he did the interview with Walter Cronkite, he said Abe Ribicoff had secretly, before the criticism and before the open confrontation, had come to Daley and asked for his support to be put on the ticket with Humphrey. And Daley wouldn't go along with that. So maybe that's why Ribicoff was also piqued. But his birthday is today. Then the famous satirist, political satirist, went to Harvard. Tom Lehrer was born today. Listen to his records about a lot of things, the Vatican Rag, Werner von Braun, great humorist, played the piano, and he wrote some great songs, and if you like a good, real political comedy, which is also and satire, listen to his recordings. Also, the guy who started the Yippies, which I guess the hippies came out of that, Paul Kressner was born today. And in music, we have a lot of our 19th century tradition in America, the symphonic and the opera traditions come from Middle Europa, as they say, or Middle Europe. And a lot of the musicians came out of Hungary, Germany, and Austria, and Russia. And today we have the birthday of Antal Doraty, who started the Minneapolis Orchestra, great conductor. Great music conductor, did opera also. We also have, I think, Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. He was senior. He was born. His son became an actor and did some 60s stuff. Also, we have the French poet Baudelaire. I can never pronounce that. Shame on me. But anyway, if you have seen the movie Music Man, Meredith Willson's epic about 19th century Iowa, and how they tried to bring music to this little town, and Hermione Gringold played the Grand Dame, and she talks about obscene, risque poetry, and she mentions Baudelaire. It's quite funny. Also, we have the guy who pioneered motion pictures and photography. Edward Muybridge was born, and he would do was photograph nude men. I don't think he did women, and just to show the how the body worked. Nothing obscene, it was strictly art, and that was pioneer work done at that time, and the stuff is still available. We also have one of the worst kings in history, in modern history, Leopold II of Belgium. He's the guy who sent his people into the Belgian Congo to rape the Congo and abuse the natives, who didn't work or were withholding I think they had rubber and there were diamonds and all of that. They had their hands cut off. And a very famous Sir Roger Casement, an Irishman, exposed the Belgian Congo atrocities. And for this, he was knighted. And I think he got a Nobel Peace Prize. Unfortunately, Sir Roger was a closet homosexual. And he supported, as an Irishman, he supported Germany in World War I. The British apprehended him and tried him in secret and hanged him, but it was more because they were afraid to hang him because of his reputation as a humanitarian, but because there were some letters found with the what had a homosexual content, they decided to hang him, because it was a major scandal, and they used the thing that he was a spine for the Germans or a German sympathizer. So that's the link there. And then we have, of course, Saul Hirach. A lot of the great musicians and the acts, he was the impresario. I think he was from Russia, and he brought these musicians to America. He was born today. And also the great Asian conqueror Tamerlane was born today. So these are the interesting people. And then of the the events, today, General Robert E. Lee, the great Confederate general, he surrendered at Appomattox. And, of course, there's some people who still think the South shall rise again. Joke. And so much for that. But I guess we still haven't, we've got reverse racism going on in this country, and we've seen it in the last week with this guy, William Douglas, so-called news journalist, works for the McClatchy Papers, and he falsely, according to the information we're getting from everybody, accused the teabag people and people who were there. Some of those people weren't part of the Tea Party movement, but were there protesting the health care. Accused them of calling Reverend Cleaver the N-word and spitting on him. And there's no verification of this. Even Cleaver has backed away from this because he's the victim. And, of course, Douglas, who claims to be a journalist, been around for about 15, 20 years. And he unfortunately gives black journalists, black media people, a very bad name. And he isn't the only one. You know, it was, black and other ethnics, Latinos, Asians, have worked very hard and go to journalism school, worked when they went to work for newspapers and television and radio. They went and did the obituary work, looking up obituaries of famous people so they'd be ready when they died. They'd go to press or go on the air, covered police beats. A lot of these guys worked very hard, a lot of these women. And here we have these clowns, like one of the worst was this Jason Blair at the New York Times, who fabricated stories over there, and they had to fire him and the editor. And then, of course, about 30 years ago, we had Janet Cook of the Washington Post, a black woman who got a Pulitzer for a fabricated story about a kid who died of crack in a public housing authority in Washington, D.C. So, these people do not help these young blacks, Asians, Latinos, and Native Americans who were trying to get into the newsrooms and into the broadcast studios, when you have these kind of people sabotaging the efforts of people behind them who are trying to be honest, ethical, and competent. And my view is that these people, if they were doctors, they would be stripped of their medical license. They ought to be, in the old days when media people lied, especially in the old West, we got the term horse's ass, the presses that offended public morals and attitudes, their presses were smashed. The newspaper people, editors, publishers, so-called journalists, were horsewhipped, tarred, and feathered, and put on the train and told to get out of town before the sun set down. That's where we get the expression, run you out of town on a rail. So that's political etymology, origin of the phrase. What else do we have here? Oh, yes. The corruption in San Francisco is unique. This is a city where there has only been one, and it's been in the last couple of years, major federal prosecution of a politician for public corruption. And he happened to be a conservative. He happened to be Asian. And he claimed that he paid bribes and took bribes. He was on the city council or board of supervisors, as we call them out here. And he claimed that this is how things are done in the Chinese community. Now, he was a conservative, and people thought so much of him at the time, before this came up, that he would possibly be the first Chinese-American or Asian mayor of San Francisco. Instead, he was prosecuted by the feds and by the state of California. And unfortunately, he's in prison. His wife's destroyed. His family's damaged. His name is Mud. But that was the last major prosecution. We also had a federal judge, Latino, who was accused of conversing, having contact with an old Al Capone hitman. I forgot his name, little guy. And the phone calls apparently were tapped. Federal judge was forced off the bench. And before that, we haven't had any major federal prosecution since the 19th century, around just before the earthquake, where, in fact, there was a lawyer that went to jail. He took the fall, and just goes to show you that lawyers, is a lot of these guys think they get a bar card, or lawyers and women also, that they are infallible, don't know anything, and they're untouchable. Well, this lawyer, Ralph, took the fall for the public corruption that he was prosecuted for. Now, Teddy Roosevelt, the corruption was so bad in San Francisco that Teddy Roosevelt sent in a special prosecutor, Francis Heaney, and the people who were profiting from prostitution, bribery, public corruption, tried to assassinate him, and they did shoot at him. I think he was wounded. So that's the last time, but yet we still have, now we have women. We have Nancy Pelosi, who was involved in the takeover of the Presidio. Also, the billion-dollar heroin bust at a warehouse in Hayward, California. NBC got permission from the DEA to set up cameras to photograph the action. It's part of the federal court case. And when she was exposed, she said, "Well, I don't know anything about it." It was typical of her when she's cornered, you know, like a drowning rat. And there's other things with the bogus nonprofits, as I call them. What's been going on, and this is something that all of you people across the country who have these gay, lesbian, NAMBLA, transgendered organizations that get public funds, a lot of these organizations, many of them have been paying their minions very high salaries and expense accounts and houses and all that sort of thing. And of course, the money has dried up. And so what's happened here in San Francisco, this notorious site called the Gay, Lesbian, Transgendered Center, which was on the tax rolls for about $100,000, and the taxpayers dumped about $10 million into building a building and paying these huge salaries. Well, now it's bankrupt, and they're looking for a bailout. So be aware that if you have these organizations in your cities, your towns, your neighborhood, if they're not properly managed, and a lot of them aren't, and there's a lot of siphoning and laundering of drugs and setting up offshore bank accounts, then they may be coming to the taxpayers, you as a taxpayer and a voter, for bailout. So keep that in mind, that San Francisco leads the way, as it were, what we call we're a path to graft, let's put it that way. And it's interesting that in April of 1996, after Donald Turner, who was the guy who was the housing commissioner or secretary for the state of California in the Jerry Brown administration, he set up these organizations called Bridge Housing, which is a front for real estate racketeering. Some of their condos have gone to media people, and we'll expose that because we have the documents. And he was involved with Saul Alinsky here in downtown San Francisco. David Fowler worked on that case, and David Fowler was one of the people, one of the spark plugs to start the public investigation of corruption in Northern California. He can be seen, if you've seen the movie The Life and Times of Harvey Milk, and we'll put up a clip on our YouTube, Amicus Veritas, video page. That's AMICUSVERITAS, and you'll see David Fowler, and he unfortunately died in September 2001, and we worked together in the radio at KLW, school district radio station. Great guy, and he also was one of the people who devised the emergency system for FEMA and for which was used at the World Trade Center when it was blown up or whatever, when those planes hit it. So and he also did stuff abroad for the government, disaster mechanisms to deal with disasters, communications, that sort of thing, and also for the National Fire Academy in Virginia. quite a guy, and he was the editor of the book Denial of Disaster, and that's a lot of denials going on, and we have a lot of disasters. Excuse me. But you've got to become aware, because ignorance is not bliss. And as I said, the meek don't inherit the earth, they inherit the dirt, and they'll be lucky to afford it. It's time to become aware. You don't have to be obnoxious. We had some damn fool who harassed Nancy Pelosi. She's not worth harassing. She'll destroy herself. She's just the type. And we call her the Lucretia Borgia of American politics. And those of you who know the Italian politics, where you didn't want to go to lunch with to the Lucretia Borgia's table, you'd get poisoned. And she was part of the notorious Borgia family, which co-opted Italian politics during the 15th century. Even had a few popes who fathered children, really bad people. Since we're on that subject, as a Catholic and as a conservative Catholic, yes, we have a problem. But we're not the only ones. And there are those of us who have warned the bishops, have warned the priests, warned the nuns, and nuns have been involved in abusing, sexual abuse of children too. We've had lesbian nuns and brothers and bishops, but we're not the only ones. And on our YouTube, Amicus Veritas, we expose the Presbyterians that had, for 40 years, they were molesting boys at the Donnellina Camera House. And there's the scandal with Amos Brown, who claims to have touched the hem of Martin Luther King's garment, and he's untouchable, and he has $250,000 in judgments for pedophilia. Anyway, what I would suggest that you start looking at other people, and also in the East Bay Times, they're on the web. They're part of the New Times organization out of Phoenix. They expose, this is a civilian case, one of them, and it's not Boy Scouts, it's not priests, swimming instructors who have been molesting the swimmers, sexually molesting them, primarily girls. But there have been boys who've been sexually molested also by athletic coaches and swimming coaches, that sort of thing. And there have been teachers that are, you know, involved in pornography. So, you know, the Catholic Church is the biggest in the world, and it's got some of the biggest problems, and they're going to have to deal with this because it's costing them mucho bucks, and it's not over. And what there needs to be is zero tolerance. And I can tell you, when we used to complain to the bishops, one of the reasons that they didn't do anything, they transferred these priests hoping they'd clean up their act, but they didn't. They just cleared out and operated someplace else. And we even had them come to San Francisco. They've said it's hard to get vocations, get guys to go into the seminary, because it's about a 10-year course of study. And they know they're homosexual seminarians. And that's part of the problem. So they've got to deal with this, and we can't become like the Anglican Church, or the Episcopal Church, which an English historian, Paul, I forgot his last name, has referred to as the High Church of Sodomy. And one of the reasons I think that the Catholic Church is being dumped on, and unfortunately there's cause for some of this, is because it opposes gay marriage and homosexual and lesbian adoption of children. And one of the reasons is because if those children are abused, the church adoption agency is going to be sued and has been sued. So I can understand that, and I approve of that. But Catholic Church hierarchy has got to take immediate steps and to prevent any more of this stuff, and when these things occur, to get rid of these people. So anyway, we'll end with our favorite theme, and tune in next Tuesday.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bet.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year. Big eight.
ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay,
well, pay through the nose, you don't get good ones. Thanks for listening. Mm-hmm.